Ni hao, Simpsons fans. It's time for another Patches and Stitches Simpsons podcast extravaganza. The podcast where two brothers takes one episode of Simpsons and we chop it up like an onion. And just like chopping up the onion, the longer it goes, the more you cry. In our podcast, we like to break up the monotony by having segments. Just to kind of move her along. And the segments we have developed so far are The Wizard Did It, Poke the Bear, Hot Nuggets, Showstopper, Laugh Out Loud, and of course The Rundown. The Rundown is where one of us describes the episode of Simpsons that we just watched. And Stitches and I have talked off air that you think that The Rundown would be really easy because you just watch the show and you just have to give a brief description. But it seems like whenever one brother kicks it over to the other for The Rundown, we just tend to freeze up. Simpson, yeah. Stitches, you want to do the rundown?
I do, and you are correct. Every week I have to do the rundown, I have a little nervous breakdown before the show, so I'm just going to go into it. This week we're watching Season 18, Episode 18, The Boy's a Bummer. Bart is playing with his Little League baseball team, the Isotots, and he ends up making a great play to send his team into the championship game. Marge, being so excited, decides to go buy a dress at a department store, and Homer falls asleep in a mattress and wakes up as a mattress salesman. Well, in the championship game, Bart has a costly mistake that makes his team lose the game, and because of this, the town of Springfield shuns him. Homer sells Reverend Lovejoy a bad mattress and ends up trading his mattress to make Reverend Lovejoy happy. And after Bart has a mental breakdown, the town feels bad for him and decides to replay the championship game to see if the outcome would be better. And the show ends with years later, Bart and Milhouse sitting at the retirement home talking about good old days. And that's this week's rundown.
I'm going to jump right into a Poke the Bear, Stitches.
Okay, go ahead.
Why would anyone ever get nervous doing a podcast?
Because it's a lot of pressure, and when people listen, and we put it on the interweb, and so people are angry and mean about how we do this, so...
Have people been mean about it?
Yeah, people have said that they've been too long, that your voice is boring, I don't know, stuff like that.
I thought you were going to say we get nervous because we don't practice this at all until we get together to do it. All right, so I did not think your rundown was very good, but my introduction was not very good either, so can we just say that cancels each other out?
I liked your intro. I mean, let's be honest. Do you have any good points of how I can do rundowns better?
I think you once told me that it just has to be a lot quicker and briefer because either they've watched the episode or they haven't.
Well, it goes a little bit into this episode. It depends on the episode we're watching, because this one is very fragmented, and Homer even
didn't you talk about how Homer started falling asleep on a mattress? I mean, you're like going into the plot.
How am I supposed to, like, oh, Bart's in
a baseball game. I was not even listening to you, and I got bored.
Bart's in a baseball game, and then Homer's a mattress salesman. Oh, and Homer makes a joke about, oh, how are we going to get these two things to work together? And even the segue into Homer to Marge and Homer shopping was kind of lazy.
Oh my goodness. All right. This podcast has started off poorly because I think we're going to go in a different way for our ratings, but that's fine. We'll wait till we get there. I did notice at the opening they had the old TV. I'm guessing it was like the actual old opening to the show, which kind of surprised me because it was season 18. So I don't remember when they started doing some of the newer stuff, but
I thought it was season 20.
Okay, you and I have talked. One fun thing about doing the podcast is we go back, and you kind of forget when things have changed or what happened when. I like the beginning, of course, Isotots instead of Isotopes. That was fun.
Okay.
And there was a sign coming in to when warning your kid is not as good as you think he is. And now that you and I have kids, you know, because I've always watched other kids play and you're like, they're not that good. And the parents are sitting there screaming or yelling at them like they're going to be in the majors next year. And you kind of think to yourself, What's your problem there? What's your deal? Your kid's not even that good. Why don't you stop yelling at him?
Right.
But then once you have kids, you do kind of, you know, they're the apple of your eye, and you think maybe they're special, but you just kind of want them to be the best they can be, and so you take the game way more serious than it should be taken.
All right, so here's my poke the bear, and it's a big question for you. What was the point of this episode for the writers? What were they trying to get across when it comes to baseball or kids playing baseball?
Just childhood regrets. That was gonna be one of my poke the bears to you. Is like did you ever have? And they did it with sports, right? A regret, but there was probably something in your school times or something that you've done where you're just like, that was kind of traumatic. Like that one, you know, the thing that went wrong, or possibly, hopefully, for some of our listeners, went right, changed their life. And so I think that's the whole point is that, and like it was so, you know, like you had said, Bart went lost his mind that they had to replay the game because it was going to ruin his life. And so, like, I think it was probably some writer who had something like that, maybe in baseball or maybe not, happen. It's like, oh, I wish I could just rewrote that. You don't have something in your life that you're like, I wish I could just rewrite that.
Wow, this goes into a deep thing, because I think everything that happens to you makes you the person that you are right now. So if you're not happy, if you're happy with who you are right now, you have to accept everything that's happened in the past.
Yes, if you are happy with who you are.
Yes, that's a big caveat. That's a big caveat.
So I'm going to throw the right cross against you that you did not like how they transitioned into Homer becoming a mattress salesman, and I thought that was the best part of the episode, is that how they got him to become a mattress salesman was awesome.
I'm really surprised that you said that, because usually, you know, we've agreed that the Simpsons do this great job of, like, starting somewhere and then ending somewhere where you don't even believe it, but it seamlessly goes from one point A to point B. And this time it was like, all right, we're gonna have Homer sell mattresses. What how can we do that? Oh, Marge can be shopping for a dress. Okay.
She was just shopping but bragging about how good Bart was at baseball.
Yeah.
And Homer was so bored with it that he wanted to sit down, which, I mean,
but
I know that all shopping malls are going to die pretty soon, but we still kind of, I'm sure you've shopped before with your wife, or you're like, or just done on something where you're like, I just kind of want to not be here. And he lays down and takes off his pants in a bed.
That was my laugh out loud moment of the episode, is when he gets in bed and he's like, it's weird to have my pants on. I don't know. I love that.
And then I liked how the store owner gives him the job and has that funny voice. And then you never see that guy again, because that guy was going to get super annoying if they brought him back.
That part has haunted me for the last 3 days, where he goes...
So you watched the episode 3 days ago?
You did it perfect, but... I'm like, what is up with that? Why would they have done that? And that's like one time where I've never seen them bring that back in other episodes.
No.
Like, it's super random.
I've never seen him at Costigan's again. And again, I think sometimes you and I put in requests to the show, and we think he should be back, right? Let's go back to Costigan's and have that guy work there or own it or whatever his role was, that he could give Homer a job.
He's kind of like a Superintendent Chalmers.
Yeah, he is. So I thought that was a little random. And then when Marge had to put on her glasses to see Bart spray painting, and her glasses were super round and funny.
Yes, yes.
I thought that was another random joke they threw in there, which was pretty funny.
I agree. And I don't know, have they done that before with people wearing funny glasses or...
Funny stuff. Gosh. I don't know about glasses. I think Milhouse or somebody, yeah, they've had to do glasses. So they went from the baseball thing to the B story of Homer being a salesman, but then it turned, they flipped the B story into, it was more about Reverend Lovejoy and his wife and the mattress.
A little bit, and this is the other thing that I was thinking a lot about, is that not only did they jump into the B story hard, but then Homer and Marge were both in the B story and had a kind of part significant in part in the Ape story too. You know, like it wasn't so they were jumping back and forth, like one time they're driving with the new mattress and then the next time they're at Bart's game. I don't know. It's just usually the B story and the A story flow better for me, and I don't know.
I disagree. I thought they flowed great together. So you do not have any childhood regrets because you like who you are. let me think if I have any. Let's wrap up the poking the bear.
All right.
I actually agree with you that the mistakes you make are kind of your own. I don't know if this one would have... Well, I mean, I've never had it, though, where the whole town harassed me and hated me. how about this one, though? Haven't you ever had people make fun of you or... Like, maybe back in high school or some group setting where you're just like, oh, I wish they would stop doing that.
Yeah, I think everybody has that. But you kind of learn from that, I wouldn't say mistake, but that mentality of being around those people and being like, oh, these people are not being very nice to me. I don't know why we're in this friends group. And then you kind of realize when you get older, like, you don't have to do that kind of stuff. You don't have to be in those groups.
Public announcement right there.
Life lessons.
We are not starting another segment, no way. So you would say that they shouldn't have replayed the game, which I did think that part was funny too, when they're like, well, we can't just replay the game, and Lisa and Mo had their back and forth. Can't we? No, we can't. Or is it possible? And the way Mo was talking to Lisa, I thought was hilarious.
That was good. That was good.
One of my favorite jokes was when Bart had his horrible game and Homer was reading the paper the next day and it was a bad front cover, but then he turns the next page and it says, "Boy's air weakens the dollar."
Oh, really?
I didn't, yeah.
You know what? So that's a good nugget.
It was second page news. another one was when the Lovejoys had their mattress and Homer and Marge were in church and like the Lovejoys were swinging and loving it and everyone else was swinging and they weren't, and then Homer was just sitting there mumbling stuff, sexual mumblings is what I wrote down.
Yeah, because it was very coherent of what he was saying. But he was still mumbling it. Yeah,
that whole I had brought this up before, but I saw in this episode that Bart did play baseball left-handed. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that. See, you were on the ball. So he's
remember
lefty.
Remember, I said that once because, well, I have a left-handed son, so everything left-handed I wonder about. And then it's like, okay, so Bart was fielding left-handed and hitting left-handed, I believe.
So he had the baseball glove in his right hand.
Yes. That's what left-handers do. And then, but they never talk about, like, he never bonded with Ned Flanders in the Leftorium at all. So I don't know. Maybe he's just a baseball lefty.
Oh, yeah, and we didn't see him hit this time.
No, he didn't. We did see Nelson punch the ball when he pitched.
Yeah, he did that a couple times. What did you think of that whole joke? Is that like a true knuckleball?
Mm-hmm. I never even thought of the knuckleball. No, I was thinking more just he's a bully, but...
Oh.
I like the knuckleball.
And did you see Ralph was the catcher?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I thought that would have been funny if they would have done more with that.
Yeah, I thought this episode was packed. Like I said, the B story moved a couple times, so they had to get even the A story around of him. You know, because they did spend the first part of the first scene was, you know, of the Isotots being really good and Marge being so proud of Bart and the boys on the team could do whatever they want to the townspeople. What did I write down that Mayor Quimby said, "This makes up for years of failure and everything else we've attempted," which I think is fun too. I don't know if you ever had that before where you had a good day or something, or like your team wins something. And sometimes I think people are like that with professional sports. If their team wins, they're just like, "This makes up for all the crappiness in my life."
That's true. I didn't like that part either with Bart mooning the crowd and being like, "Each cheek is a god to you." And then them being like, oh, can we egg the crowd? I don't know. I feel like there's a deeper meaning that they were trying to go after. And
have you never been around, like, we're old enough, like some high school sport now where the kids are going to be state champions or they're really good. They're ranked number one in something, something. And these high school kids walk around like they think it's important. And some adults treat them like it's important. Like, oh, yeah, you're a big deal because you're good at high school basketball or football or, you know, softball or whatever it is. And the rest of us are just like, it's high school sports.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's not realistic. I'm just saying that it just annoyed me. And it doesn't make me root, like, and maybe that's the thing. It didn't make me root for Bart. And so when he dropped the ball, I was kind of like,
yes,
whatever.
No, that's, I think, what they wanted. They wanted you to kind of almost be like, yeah, take it. But then they went too far, right?
Right.
So I got to watch this episode twice, and the second time I watched with the boys, and the scene where all the people were booing Bart, they did not like, and then Bart ran away, and he gets in with Chief Wiggum, and he drives him back in.
Yeah.
They did laugh at that. They thought that was pretty funny.
The fact that Chief Wiggum has a convertible, or...
He had a convertible so they could throw stuff at him. Well, I got one hot nugget. You got any hot nuggets?
I've got some hot nuggets that go all around this episode, so not too many, but go ahead.
Well, since I only have one, you want me to drop mine?
Yeah, sure.
It came at the end.
Oh, man, this is the good one I had. All right, go ahead.
You say it, then. You say it.
Is it about Bart being dressed up in the same clothes that Grandpa wears?
Grandpa, yeah. If you and I both caught it, then it's probably not too hot of a nugget, but I'm hoping that anyone that watched it, any true Simpsons fan would have noticed that right away, right?
If you're a true Simpsons fan, you would have got that right away, yes.
I think so, that you would have seen Bart dressed up with, I think it was the tie that gave it away, that...
Yep, it's the bow tie, or the, what do they call that?
I don't even know what they call that. Let's ask our listeners, they can write in and tell us. No, it's not a bow tie, obviously, it's a... I think it sounds like a bow, though, like a go tie. I don't know. Our listeners can tell us what that name of that tie. Don't get on the Google box.
The other quick one I had that I knew right away was the Steve Bartman joke.
Oh, was that when Homer caught it?
Yep. So that is a play on the Chicago Cubs.
Are you sure?
Am I sure?
What year was this? 2007?
Oh, no, probably 18.
This episode is 2007. So when was the Bartman?
Oh, I thought it was it was definitely before that. It was probably 2004.
Are you you think that definitely is? Because they didn't say any joke off of that.
Here's the thing: is I kind of look like Steve Bartman, and so that year I went as Steve Bartman for Halloween.
Okay.
And I know for a fact that was before 2007.
And Steve Bartman, of course, is the Cubs fan who caught the ball and didn't let, I forgot who, what Cubs outfielder could have caught it for the out, and everyone in Chicago hated him. Hopefully they let it go. I think they've won the World Series since. On that one, I don't think this is a nugget. I think yours might be a nugget. Mine was when the ball hits Bart and he spins around.
Yeah. Is that
Charlie Brown? Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of Charlie Brown, so that does look...
That's the one I liked. I think the boys liked it when the ball hit the bird and killed the bird.
That was rough. So what did you think... All right, you kind of alluded to this earlier, but what did you think of that whole part? Did you think, like, oh, they should be doing this for Bart, or...
Well, I loved it because... So you keep on like, what was the meetings? I'm like, they have so many meetings. So he was arrogant. He screwed up. He was traumatized. They replay a game, which they never could. And you're totally right to ask that question. Should they have? And the answer is then in the thing is, well, it takes them whatever 75 attempts for them to get it right.
78.
So all the fans by this time are like, well, this was stupid. And then, you know, when Milhouse and Bart are talking... When they're old, he's arrogant again. And then Milhouse is going to bring him back, and then Milhouse won't do it because Bart still is too traumatized by it. And then Ghost, Marge, and Homer talk about it. So, I mean, like, they flip it back and forth. I think it's pretty obvious that, no, they should not have replayed the game. But I like that because that's a, like, it would have been impossible to do it. I did like the back and forth between Marge and the coach of how, of getting the coach to replay the game. Okay, but you got to pretend to be my fiance. Okay, but you got to pretend to be my.
I did like that part. I can't remember what was the thing that pushed it too far?
Haunted ghosts, like you have to pretend to be a ghost so I can buy a whatever. What am I trying to say? Amusement park for cheap.
That was good.
I thought that was a good one to go too far because it wasn't too crazy, but it was like it was funny.
But that's what I'm talking about. It's like March was in that, and then she was also right before that dealing with the mattress.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
It's just too much. Can we go to the B story for a little bit?
Well, just really quickly, the baseball announcer that they use that's supposed to sound like Vin Scully?
Yeah.
The famous Dodgers. They use him quite a bit. I think I've even seen Harry Shearer. I think that's who does that voice. I think I've seen him do that before.
I did do a little research on that, and Harry Shearer did that on Saturday Night Live one time or something like that.
I swear to God, I've seen him do it. But
he does it really well. I mean, I think it sounds a lot different than any of his other voices.
Don't you think he's maybe one of the more talented voice actors on the show? I mean, they all do good. I mean, we love them all, but it's like he can, like you were saying, he can do some various. He has the biggest range.
Oh, man, that is a tough question. I kind of agree with you.
It'd be him or Hank Azaria, I think. Who can just do like a super big range of voices.
But he doesn't have a very, like, I feel like all of his characters he plays are very unfriendly.
Yes, possibly.
Which is interesting.
Okay, that's why your B story. What do you want to talk about the B story? See, you love the B story.
I didn't love the B story at all. I thought it would have been better if Homer would have sold more mattresses and did that instead of it became a Reverend Lovejoy, Helen Lovejoy, Marge and Homer kind of thing. But I don't know. This is kind of a nerdy thing.
Okay.
So they decide to split the mattress in half.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, like King Solomon.
Yes.
But it was, in my head, I was like, okay, somebody's going to hold up the saw, and the other person's going to be like, no, you really deserve it, and that's the person who deserves it. Because that's how the story really goes. But they end up cutting it in half anyway.
Yes, because they both.
So maybe that's fun. Maybe that's funny, but then it led nowhere. It led to them taking the pie-shaped mattress home, pulling behind a billboard, and then making love in front of the homeless man, which was kind of funny because he was the same homeless man from their wedding night. But
and it just kind of, I was going to say wrapped it up, but it just killed the B story, right? It was like, okay, we're done.
And that's the B story in general is it started abruptly, it ended abruptly.
Yes.
If you liked it, you liked it. If you didn't.
I loved it.
Yeah. Good.
I also like that they cut it in half because you're right, King Solomon, you're supposed to go to the person that says no, don't. But they both wanted their fun bouncy bed, and they were not going to let the other one have it. So I was like, I found humor in that. I was like, yep, that's all you wanted to say on the B story?
That's all I want to say on the B story. I mean, just basically, I mean, I already said what I said my piece. Okay. How about you? Anything you want to add to it?
Let's do the showstopper first before we do the rating.
All right, sounds good. I'm going to go with Joe LeBoot.
LeBoot?
As my showstopper. I went between him and the Vince Scully guy and even Mr. Costigan? What is his name?
Costington.
All right.
Are you sure that was Mr. Costington?
I'm pretty sure. He said my store.
Okay.
So Joe LeBoot was, I mean, I felt like this was a little weak showstopper, but I just love the part of when Bart goes to see him and he's talking about how his life has sucked, but now he forgives himself and he's fine. And then he finds out that he's Bart Simpson and he's like, you're the Bart Simpson. And he totally just flips the script. And then he starts booing at him.
Boo indeed. Yeah. So I am going to pick Grandpa Simpson And okay. It's because of the same thing, because he boos Joe LeBoot. So I should have known this was going to happen, because you and I did not mention Joe. We didn't mention LeBoot the whole time. We, like, saved him as our little. So I was going to pick Homer. That was my showstopper the first time I watched it. But the second time I watched it, the laugh-out-loud moment for my youngest son was when Joe LeBoot did not catch Bart, and Grandpa was riding by in a scooter, and he goes, "You stink, LeBoot!" Yes, and so my two boys have been saying that all week long.
And you stink, LeBoot!
So Grandpa's my showstopper, because I think he converted my youngest. My oldest one is already starting to like The Simpsons. He'll even ask me to watch him sometimes, but my youngest one's like, "No, I don't want to watch that. Don't want to watch that." And he's a baseball fan, so I'm like, "Why don't you just watch this one with us?" And that was his laugh out loud moment, is when Joe LeBoot could not catch Bart. And he's been asking all week, like, why doesn't Grandpa like LeBoot? And he, you know, I ask all these questions, and at the end, he'll just be like, "You stink, LeBoot!
You stink, LeBoot!" That is good. That's good.
So that's a pretty corny reason to choose a showstopper, but I think you and I have talked about trying not to pick Homer. I thought Homer was hilarious as a mattress salesman and the whole thing. So he was good, but
you know what? All right, sorry. You know the other.
And how often are you going to choose Grandpa as the showstopper?
I know. Well, you'd be surprised, I think.
All right.
When Homer's looking for the husband chair at the department store. And he goes to sit down, and Chief Wiggum sits down and pulls a gun on him.
Yeah.
I like that part.
I love how you tell me that you don't like the episode, and then you tell me line after line of funny stuff that was in.
Well, the other thing that I'm going to give this 3 drop balls. And one of the things that I really dislike about this episode is that Bart jumps from the water tower.
Oh, and did he jump or did he let him?
He jumps. And I thought they could have done that whole thing better. I think they could have done it better. And the jumping back and forth, and not to say that this swayed my opinion, but I did do some research, and this is voted online as one of the worst Simpsons episodes of all time.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. And I don't know if I totally agree with that.
No.
And I mean, isn't but the funny? Other thing is, I did see, or this is probably, I hate to admit this, but I don't know if I've seen this episode before. I remember parts of this, so I might have caught parts of it, but I did not remember this episode very well.
So you researched, like, favorite Simpsons episodes, and this, how do you do that? Just on the Googlebot?
Yeah. I did.
Or is there a fan website you want to plug?
No, I can't even remember. There's some fan sites that I'm part of that I try to stay away from when we're recording podcasts, because I want to bring original thought to it. But I just I jumped in and I was like, let's see what they have to say. And
I'm going to rate it 4 out of 6 swinging alleluias. I'm shocked that this would be rated as one of the worst ones. There's nothing that sticks out at you as a bad, right? There's nothing that you're like, "Oh, I really did not like that one part." So I don't know what would upset so many people.
I would say that it's off. It feels off from a Simpson episode.
I felt it was so on. I'm not gonna even come close to calling it in the, you know, top echelon, but it was a good episode. I would recommend this episode to someone.
Wow.
And I would recommend it to anyone who's a baseball fan. I'd recommend it to anyone who has kids.
There's so many more. Well, I feel like The Simpsons have done better baseball episodes. Like, you can name 3 other better baseball episodes than this episode.
I remember when Homer was on the softball team.
Homer dancing Homer.
Yeah. What's another one? See? You're done.
Lisa teaches the whole Moneyball episode where Lisa takes over the team.
No, that's true. I forgot about that one. Good poll on that one. Hey, I'm going to bring up something that we do ask our fans to write in and to reply, and we actually had a fan try to drop a nugget on us, and he's talking about what was this episode in season one that we watched, the one where they're out in the camp forest camping.
The open wild, or the Simpsons in the Wild.
Yeah, whatever it's called. One of our fans said that he noticed that in the opening credits, behind when Homer is leaving work and he drops the nuclear rod in his back, that the guy behind him is actually eating a sandwich with a pair of tongs.
Okay.
And so I checked that out, and he's right. But then I went throughout all season one, and that's what it was back then.
Oh.
So he did catch something that they don't do anymore, but I'm not going to call that a hot nugget, because there's a lot of things in the opening that they don't do anymore or have changed. Neat observation.
Would you call it more of a lazy nugget?
I'd call it a mushy nugget, because I don't want to eat it. No, it was actually good. And the guy who was eating it kind of looks like a version of Homer, but with, like, what do they call it when you have the donut hair? Like, you're bald on top, but you have the ring of hair around your, like, your ears and your back and stuff like that. But it does kind of look like Homer. And he is eating a sandwich with a pair of nuclear plant tongs. So
good. That is a little random.
Good observation, good. I guess. And if anyone out there sees any more, I'd rather have nuggets than just observations. But throw them at us, and maybe we'll talk about them if they don't suck too bad.
To do that, follow us on Twitter or email us at patchesandstitchespodcast@gmail.com, or you can actually leave us a voicemail if you're listening to us through the Anchor app.
Nice. Got them all.
That was a good plug.
All right, so next week we are going to be watching Season 11, Episode 9, Grift of the Magi, because it is almost Christmas season. Are you getting ready for Christmas there, Stitches?
Oh, you know. The tree's up and we're ready to go.
The tree is not up already, please tell me.
Oh, the tree's been up for a week and a half.
Oh, my goodness. We do have snow on the ground, so I'm starting to get that tingling feeling.
Tis the season. And
anything you want to leave us with?
You know, I'm do you want to let them know that I kind of push you towards this episode next week, and I've got some good stories coming down the line. So
do you sure really you... okay yes this is the know. First one. We always tell people that we pick them by random, the episodes we watch, but we don't. Sometimes we do, sometimes sometimes we just pick them, and Stitches wanted to watch this one, and I love it, so we're going to watch it. Watch it with
us. I have a random reason why we picked it, so there we go.
Okay, we'll find out next week?
We will.
Okay. I'll talk to you next week, not before.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. The Patches and Stitches Simpson Podcast Extravaganza is brought to you by the Patches and Stitches Family Foundation.
You stink, LaBoot.